Hey, it's Maddie.
And it's Carissa.
You're not watching the Disney Channel right now.
You're listening to Dreadfully Twisted. Dreadfully Twisted's back
again, again.
Dreadfully Twisted's back. Tell your friends,
and family.
It's funny because we have like intro music, and then this is our like intro music theme song slash beginning of the podcast episode every time.
The other music is the intro music to the intro music.
Yeah. And then the intro music is our singing.
Yes.
It's like the real intro music. If that makes any sense. Oh. Wait, what was our old-timey thing again? I forget.
Crap, I forget how it goes.
We literally just did it, like, not, like, 40 minutes ago.
Old-timey case. Something like that.
It's an old-timey
case. Something like that.
I don't remember. I'll listen back and I'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I might just clip it again. Yes. Here.
Yeah, perfect. There you go.
So... clip it here. Pause for like a minute.
You're going old because mine are old too.
So oh yeah,
old timey
cases. Okay,
resume.
That's where I'll clip it.
Okay, so today's cases are
terrible.
Yes. Okay, I just want to tell you guys right now that these cases are brutal, okay? Like, these are toolbox killer type vibe with these cases. The second one is the worst. I mean, they're all absolutely terrible, but the second one really, like, shivered me timbers.
Ooh.
Yeah, they all shivered me timbers, but some of them just... I almost didn't do it, and I was like, I feel like I just have to, because everybody needs to know about this monster. Like, you need to know that this person actually exists.
Yeah.
Like, because that is terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying.
And, like, the psychology behind it, too, is mm-hmm. just, like, how can somebody be like
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
Like, how?
And these all have one thing in common, these three cases. The last one is super short, because... there's little to nothing about this guy, but there is something because it was so, so long ago.
Yeah.
But I found something, so.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you the word that all these stories have in common. Werewolf.
Huh?
Werewolf.
That's weird.
I'm
going to
tell you how I heard about this first case, and then I looked for more. But my dad's friend, we were at a concert one time, and I told him about the podcast,
yeah.
And he told my dad and me about this, this first case that I'm gonna talk about, and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna have to look that up, and then my dad was like, you should cover this soon. I was like, oh, I forgot about that, and then he sent me the link, and I was like, alright, I'm diving into this one. I gotta do my research for this, because it's crazy. And I just want to tell you guys that this was Spain's first documented serial killer.
That's crazy.
Yeah. First documented serial killer in Spain. And it is about the werewolf of Alariz.
Okay. Sounds like it would be like a cute little like fairy tale. No, it's not going
no,
to be.
No, definitely not. Okay, so let's dive in. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Buckled in.
Yes. In 1853.
Whoa.
Yeah. I told you we're going long. We're going far.
I think that might be the oldest so far.
Oh, there's one older than this, I think.
Oh.
Wait, let me see. Yeah, oh, yeah, it is, because it was the 1500s. But, yeah, that's why there was nothing about that, because there was nothing back then to, like, record stuff. But, yeah. Yeah, this might be the oldest one so far.
Honestly, I can't remember, but probably.
In 1853, Manuel Blanco Roma Santa was tried for the murder of 17 people. He confessed to 9 of them, but declared himself not guilty because he was suffering from a curse that turned him into a wolf.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. We'll go with that.
Okay. Although this defense was rejected at trial, his death sentence was commuted to allow doctors to investigate the case. Thus, Manuel has become part of Spanish folklore as the werewolf of Alariz, or less commonly as the Tallow Man. And I'm not going to tell you right now why they call him that, but you'll figure it out. I'm going to tell you in a minute.
I'm scared.
It's terrifying. More than 150 years later, this case still haunts and baffles criminologists, psychologists. Thank you. I can't even talk.
I couldn't talk either.
No. Psychologists and historians. According to recent forensic theories, Manuela, who was named Manuela at the time of his birth, was raised as a girl until the age of 6. He was then known as Manuel. According to various accounts, he was of small stature, between 4 feet and 6 inches and 4 feet and 11 inches in height, blonde and tender looking. As an adult, he worked as a dressmaker and was married. He was widowed a year later, but was not suspected of having a hand in her death. Following the death of his wife in 1833, Blanco became a traveling salesman. Salesman. Why did I pronounce that like that?
Salesman.
Initially in Escos, then eventually throughout Galicia and Portugal. Blanco was known to act as a guide for travelers crossing the mountains to go to Castile. Sorry, not to go. To Castile, Asturias, and Cantabria, which gave him further opportunities for trade. In 1844, Blanco was charged with the murder of Vicente Fernandez,
Whenever it's a different language, it's always very hard because, like, we don't speak any other language, really. So, like, it gets difficult, but we try our best.
Yes.
So bear with us.
Please do.
You could use Google Translate to say it for you.
Yeah.
I think I had to do that a couple times.
Okay, it means sheriff. I'm just going to say sheriff because we're not Spanish, so I'm going to say sheriff. Yeah. Sheriff of Leon. Fernandez was found dead after attempting to collect a debt of 600 real. I don't know what real is.
I think it's their money that they use, probably.
Yeah, it is. I thought it was pesos. I don't know.
Pesos might be Mexico, but Spain might be different.
Yeah.
Or maybe for the time period, that was what they used as money, but then they changed it afterwards. Because, with us, I don't think we have not always used dollars. We've used, coins before. Yeah.
But, yeah, he was found dead, attempting to collect a debt of 600 real that Blanco owed to a supplier in Ponferrada for the purchase of merchandise. When he failed to appear, he was judged guilty by default and sentenced in absentia to 10 years imprisonment. Fleeing from the threat of imprisonment, Blanco lived in hiding for almost a year in an abandoned shelter in Ermita. He reappeared later in public with a false passport using the name Antonio Gomez, a native of Nogueira, Portugal, and lived in the small village of Ribordechel in the district of Vilar de Barrio for at least a year. Although he helped with the harvest, he also worked as a cook, a coir maker, and as a weaver, making yarn on a spinning wheel. Over the following years, several women and children who had hired Blanco as a guide began to disappear. Their disappearances were not noticed immediately, as Blanco delivered letters to their families advising that they had arrived well at their destinations and were settling in.
That reminds me of another case that we did.
Which one?
It was the Toolbox Killers, wasn't it?
Was it?
No, wait. There's another case that we did, that we covered.
Oh, where, yeah, and they were writing the families.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was one that you did or one that I did. Yeah. It's gonna bother me.
Oh, I wanna know I wanna know which one that was. I'm trying to think. Because he was saying, like, he was pretending to be them and saying that they were okay and stuff.
Yeah.
And they weren't.
I can't remember.
Yeah. One of the cases we did.
I'm going to look back through some of my research real quick, because it's going to bother me, but we can keep going.
Over the following years, their disappearances were not noticed immediately, as Blanco delivered letters to their families advising that they had arrived well at their destinations and were settling in. However, people became suspicious when they noticed that he was selling his victims' clothing locally. Rumors began to spread that he was selling soap made from human fat.
That's just like the soap maker of court.
Exactly. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Another person was making people into soap. I was like, I thought that was a one-time thing, but no.
That's crazy.
So yeah. He would render their fat and use them to make soap. That's disgusting. In 1852, a complaint was finally lodged in the city of Escalona, alleging that Blanco deceived women and children into traveling with him so that he could kill them and remove their fat, which then he sold.
It was Robert Picton.
Yeah, the pig farmer.
He was the one that...
was, yeah.
Yeah, it was that one, I think.
Was sending...
I'm pretty sure it was that one.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it was, too. Now that you said that. He was arrested in September 1852 in Nombela in the province of Toledo and brought to trial in Alariz in the area of Orense. In his defense, Blanco claimed that he was afflicted with lycanthropy. Blanco admitted to 13 murders, but in his defense he said that he had been cursed and had committed them after transforming into the wolf. Okay, this is a direct quote from this man, okay? The first time I transformed was in the mountains of Cuso. I came across two ferocious-looking wolves. I suddenly fell to the ground and began to feel convulsions. I rolled over 3 times, and a few seconds later, I was a wolf. I was out marauding with the other two for 5 days until I returned to my own body. The one you see before you today, Your Honor. The other two wolves came with me, who I thought were also wolves, changed into human form. They were from Valencia. One was called Antonio and the other Don Gennaro. They too were cursed. We attacked and ate a number of people because we were hungry. End quote. Direct quote.
And this from man Manuel Blanco really said Roma this Santa. Yes. In court.
Yes, judge. He did. He sure did.
How did they react?
The prosecutor, Luciano Bastida Hernandez, asked Blanco to demonstrate the transformation for the court, to which he replied that the curse only lasted for 13 years and that he was now cursed as that time had expired the previous week. In October 1852...
How convenient.
Yeah, how convenient. In October 1852, Alarise doctors presented the court with a report on Blanco. Based heavily on phrenology, the reports... Why can't I say report? It's like the easiest
talking
word.
Talking is hard.
Oh my god. Again, the report accused him of inventing his affliction, while noting that lycanthropy can be determined from a visceral examination in cranioscopia, the doctors found no causes or motives for his behavior. That's crazy. You can actually check for lycanthropy? Okay, then.
Crazy.
Human werewolves. Oh, God.
I don't know.
I don't know. The court acquitted Blanco of four of the murders he had confessed to after forensic evidence indicated that these victims had died in real wolf attacks. That is where it gets me, because what do you mean they actually got attacked by a wolf?
What did you see the face I'm making?
I know, like, because did he? Like, that makes me think, like, did he actually turn into a wolf or something? I mean, like, it does not sound convincing, but why, like, did his victims?
Could he have used a tool that would make it look like that,
though? I don't think so. I mean, maybe back then you could have. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there was no way to check for that back then, but...
Or maybe he killed them, and then, like, he... I don't know.
It's just crazy. Doesn't make any sense. We need answers! Answers!
Answers!
He was found guilty of the other nine, the remains of which exhibited signs of butchering. On April 6th, 1853, Blanco was sentenced to death by garrote with 1,000 real compensation to be paid for each victim. The court case had lasted 7 months and the transcript... I can't talk, I'm sorry. And the transcript covered more than 2,000 pages. Wow.
That's a lot of pages.
Yeah. The Celanova prison and its records no longer exist, but it was widely believed that Blanco died within months of arriving. Locals say it was from illness, but there's also a rumor that he died after being shot by a guard who wanted to see him transform. What? When I read that, I was like, what? That is crazy.
Whoa.
I'm just going to give you the names of the victims that are only... Obviously, a lot of them aren't on here, but these are the ones that...
You could find.
...are, yeah, out there. Manuela Garcia, age 47, and her daughter Petra, which was 15. She was 15. Killed in the Sierra Sinan while traveling to Santander. Benita Garcia Blanco, age 34, and her son Francisco, 10, killed in Corgo de Boy while traveling to Rua Cantabras. Antonia Land, 37 years old, and her daughter Peregrina, killed while traveling to Orense. Josefa Garcia and her son Jose Pazos, which was 20, he was 21 years old, and Maria Dolores, 12 years old. That's just crazy. And that's so sad. There's...
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy. I want to know about the ones that actually got, like, were confirmed to have died from wolf attacks. Like, I need more information on that. Like, that's what I want. I need a movie or something. Maybe there is.
It might be.
Okay, let's get this second one over with because he does not deserve the time, but of course, it's the longest one. Or maybe that one was, I'm not sure. Yeah, that one was the longest one, actually, the first one. Okay, this guy is disgusting. I can't stand him. This is the guy who reminds me of the toolbox killer.
Ugh.
Okay, this is about the werewolf butcher. Jack Owen Spielman III was born on August 30th, 1969. Jack Owen Spielman III, born on August... Oh my god, I already said that, I'm sorry. He was Spokane, Washington, and is widely known as the Werewolf Butcher. His criminal rap sheet includes charges... Okay, I just want to tell you guys real fast, this case is very sexually motivated, so if you want to skip this one, it does involve trigger warning for rape. So if you do not want to watch this one, you may want to leave for the rest of this, because it is a little bit long, a little bit, and I don't really know how long to tell you to fast forward to.
Yeah.
So if you just want to skip the rest of this or go to the end to listen to the last one, that's fine. The last one is super short, like four lines, like super short.
But, four lines.
Yeah. So if you do end up leaving, we love you and we will see you next episode. But
yeah.
If you are still here, we shall continue. His criminal rap sheet includes charges on rape in King County, Washington, in burglary. Burglary?
That's how I say burglary. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Oh my god. This is why we're best friends. Like, we pronounce burglary the same way.
Talking is so hard.
It is. Okay. Ooh. Trying to read.
If you can't say it, just say robbery.
Yes, I will. And burglary in Spokane County, Washington, as well as a long list of charges ranging from indecent exposure, theft, malicious mischief, assault, and rape, dating all the way back to 1982. In 1995, Spillman viciously attacked, mutilated, raped, and murdered a mother and her teenage daughter in East Wenatchee, Washington. Under threat of the death penalty, he pleaded guilty to three counts of aggravated murder, including the 1994 mutilation murder of a 9-year-old girl. Makes me sick. In Okanagan County, Washington. The confession of the child's murder surprised authorities, although he had been a suspect in her disappearance. On October 29th, 1996, at the young age of 27, he was convicted of all three counts of aggravated murder and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. He is currently serving his sentence at the Washington State Penitentiary. According to official court documents, Spillman would declare to his cellmate, Mark Miller, that he wanted to be the world's greatest serial killer.
Ugh, they all say that.
Exactly.
What makes you want to do that?
I know.
Like, why are you gonna be like, oh, I want to be the world's greatest? Why? Exactly. What's your motivation?
I'm going to go into, obviously, what happened, but
yeah.
It's going to get dark fast.
Okay.
Spillman's mother had a total of four husbands, with whom she had four children. He and his three siblings never knew for certain which husband was the father of which child. He dropped out of school in the 9th grade. To the public eye, he was a low IQ laborer. Some news reports state that he had most recently been employed as either a butcher or a roofer with a criminal record, but in reality, he was a true monster who spent his time stalking the woman he would eventually kill. Rita Huffman was 48. She was a car salesperson, and her daughter Amanda, aka Mandy Huffman, was 15 and a student. They did not know Spillman, but it was alleged by the state that he stalked them before killing them. There was no forced entry on their home, so he must have watched them for long enough to learn about the rear sliding door to the home, which always remained unlocked. The court reports that trial judge Carol A. Wardell submitted state that Rita was stabbed a total of 31 times in the upper chest and lower neck, which damaged and severed major blood vessels. The wounds were caused by a single-edged instrument, presumably a knife. She sustained wounds on her hands and arms, which were consistent with defensive actions, indicating that she was conscious and aware of being attacked. I hate this guy so bad. Despite her defensive efforts, Rita died of exsanguination. She would have lost, which means she lost blood, like so much blood. she would have lost consciousness rather quickly as a result of the multiple stab wounds. Her body was found on a couch in the family room. And this is when it gets really graphic and disgusting, and this is what reminds me of the Toolbox Killer, and it makes me want to throw up. Okay. Her genital area was excised and stuffed in her mouth, and her body was posed for exposure in a final indignity. Rita's daughter, Mandy, was killed by a blow to her skull from a blunt instrument, presumably the baseball bat, which was found inside of her vagina. Ugh! Disgusting. Ugh, disgusting. I hate this guy so bad.
Yeah, that's very Toolbox Killer-like.
Exactly. And there's something else that literally the Toolbox Killer did, that this guy did, which literally... Ugh. He cut and placed skin from her genitalia on her face. Ugh. Her body was found in her mother's bed with her mother's eviscerated breasts near her. That is what the Toolbox Killer did. It's so disgusting. It makes me so sick.
Ugh.
I know.
The Toolbox Killers were before him, too, so he probably took inspiration.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking. I was like, this guy is, like, really trying to... Because of the nature of the crimes, it was possible that Mandy was held hostage for a short period of time prior to her death. Although the evisceration and various injuries sustained from sexual mutilation were not inflicted prior to death, the details were included in the court paper... in the court report, because Spillman had discussed with various former cellmates that he wanted to commit the same type of mutilation murders. This provided the court investigators with deeper insight into the nature and degree of his premeditation. When detectives checked the incident reports from the night of the double murder, they discovered that Jack Owen Spillman had been arrested in the small hours of the morning, not far from the scene, on suspicion of burglary.
Yeah, you said
it. Yay! I did it. Upon a search of the area, they turned up a bloody knife which was matched to one of the victims. A witness also noted seeing his truck near the crime scene around 11:30, the night of the murders. Since police initially had no concrete evidence tying Spillman to the crimes, they released him from custody and kept him under surveillance for nearly a week after the slayings. What is literally wrong with you? Okay, I lost my... Okay.
You're good.
During this time, he disposed of a bloodied ski mask, which was matched to a victim.
Of course.
Yeah. It was later discovered that he had drank Mandy Huffman's blood, as her blood was smeared near the mouth opening of the ski mask.
Oh.
Yeah, disgusting.
Ugh.
Rita's death and the rape and torture leading to it was incidental, as Spillman had been keeping his eye on Mandy. The daughter had been his intended victim. When the body of Spillman's 9-year-old victim, Penny Davis, was exhumed, it appeared that Spillman had buried her in the same position which Mandy was later found on her mother's bed. He admitted he had stalked the Davis family with an interest in Penny's older sister.
He did the same thing to a 9-year-old girl?
Exactly. He had an interest in Penny's older sister, and he had stayed with the family on occasion.
I hate this guy.
Same. He moved out of the area when the little girl turned up missing, and the police began to question him. Yeah. I'm sorry, but, like, I want to know what made him choose her if he was trying to go after her sister. I mean, like, neither one deserves it, but, like, I want to know why
he
changed his mind. And, like,
because he's messed up in the head?
Probably because he thought he could get away with it.
Probably. He was like, oh, I'm going to be the greatest serial killer if I kill this little girl. Like, I hate you.
That makes you...
just a terrible person that doesn't deserve...
shoe.
Right.
Literally. Like, the scum on... the bottom of the sewer. Yeah. That's a good way to describe it.
He is the sewer.
Exactly. Yeah. Jack Spielman had studied forensics and other serial killers in an effort to learn how to avoid being caught. And that also is what made me think, like, he probably took notes from the Toolbox Killer because of the severity of what he did.
Like, didn't you see my eye roll when you first said that? I was like, of course.
Of course. We knew that. Seen that from a mile away.
Red flag.
Red flag, red flag, red flag. He often described to his cellmates the precautions he would take against leaving clues.
Obviously, he didn't do that good of a job.
Exactly.
Which, like, is good, but, like,
yeah.
It's so funny. You suck at it.
Exactly.
He got caught.
Sucks to suck. Doesn't it suck to be one of the world's biggest POSs? Buddy?
Yeah.
How does it feel? Nothing? That's what I thought. Okay. Because you're in jail.
Yeah. And I hope you're not here anymore. Yeah. We'll see.
He believed himself to be a real werewolf. And oh, wait. I forgot to say this, but he had, like, a super fascination with wolves. And that is, like, why I'm assuming that he thought he was a werewolf. And
that's why he drank.
Yeah. And there is also an episode of Evil Lives Here. That show is very traumatizing sometimes, but it is very good. There was an episode about someone who lived with John Wayne Gacy. Insane. That episode was insane. You guys gotta watch that show one day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send it to you. I can't remember what it's on right now, but yeah, there's an episode of it about this guy, and one of his family members, I think it is, went on and was talking about him and about his fascination with wolves and stuff, and about how I'll get to it.
Okay.
He believed himself to be a real werewolf and stalked his prey as he assumed such a beast would. He fantasized about torturing women and expressed his urge to cut the heart out of his victim in order to consume it.
What?
What is wrong with you? What is literally wrong with you? Additionally, he desired to keep his victims in a cave. Wow. Like, a freaking real wolf is, like, he was literally trying to be a real wolf and, like, keep them in a cave.
What, like, is wrong with you?
Literally.
What is actually wrong with you?
Yeah. I also forgot to tell you guys how Penny died, and I put this at the end here because I forgot to put it up further, but,
okay.
Yeah. If you really want to know.
Not really. Go ahead.
Yeah. Penny had died quickly from torture and a cut to her throat that was too deep. In the local cab he had taken her to, and he was unable to fulfill all of his dark fantasies. This is disgusting. Literally freaking disgusting. Disgusting, disgusting. After he buried her body in the woods, he exhumed her corpse several times for sexual purposes. When recounting his bloodthirsty fantasies, Spielman would reportedly grow quite frenzied. He was apprehended on April 19th, 1995, and received a sentence of life with no possibility for parole. He is currently still in prison at Washington State Penitentiary. Yeah. Also, I am absolutely 100% shocked that nobody has killed him in prison, because you know what happens to people who do things to little kids in prison? Like, exactly. Like, you will be ended. Like, I can't believe. They must have him in, like, some solitary confinement or something, because he would have been gone by now. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. They don't take kindly to people who hurt kids.
Nope.
At all.
Nope. And this
You'd
is
the
last
You'd be
the
worst
one.
Of the worst person to do that to a
exactly.
child.
Exactly. Exactly. Disgusting. I hate that guy with a burning passion. Like, I was reading that, like, ew.
Now I know how you so felt whenever I did the Toolbox Killers, and that was a two-parter, so I was like, so bad.
It's okay.
Oh. I guess it's different, like saying it, I guess, yeah. than listening to it.
It is, yeah. Especially because, like, I've never heard that one before. Yeah. I mean, I've heard of it, but I've never looked into it.
Like, the details yeah, exactly. of it.
And also, I always got that one confused with the other one, the Toy Box Killer toy box, and the Toolbox Killer.
Which is just as bad. Exactly. Actually, I think the Toy Box Killer
yeah.
is worse than the Toolbox Killers.
Oh, God. I don't even remember what all went into that, but I know
The Toy Box Killer has, like, a recording. It's just, like, he has a recording that he says his big, long speech, mm-hmm. but he has the woman tied up, and then says, like, if you're hearing this, it means you're gonna... Like, it's, like, a yeah. very gross, wow. long speech. I've never listened to the whole thing, but I listened to another podcast that talked about it, and that's the one, like, I could not mm-hmm. I could not finish that yeah. episode. I couldn't, like... So the Toy Box Killer is worse than the Toolbox
He's
Killer.
He's like a creepy looking old man too. Like,
and it's a guy and a woman that was doing it.
Was it a woman too?
It was a guy and a woman. The woman would lure the girls into the trailer, and then that's how they would kidnap them. God, I forgot and then about they would that. Like chain them up, and then yeah. all that stuff. Like, that was the only one that I could not listen to.
Yeah, it was awful.
I might try to listen to it again though.
Yeah,
but at the time whenever I first mm-hmm. started listening to true crime podcasts, which is like 3 years ago now, I could not listen to that one. I literally had to skip it.
That was me with the Black Dahlia that freaking haunted me mm-hmm. for the rest of my life. I'm still scared of that. That case really yeah. shook me. And the fact that they never solved it is even scarier.
Yeah.
I hate that. But yeah. This one's short. And this is about the werewolf of Bedburg. And it made me laugh because I thought of Bedbug pronounced like Bedburg.
I was thinking Big Bird from Sesame Street.
Big Bird. Big Bird or Bedbug.
I like Big Bird better.
Yes, me too. Me too, definitely. Okay, Peter Stump, two P's, not one, was born in 1525 in Bedburg, Germany. He was a German farmer and alleged serial killer who was accused of practicing witchcraft, cannibalism, and lycanthropy. He claimed to have been given a belt by the devil, which could transform him into, quote, the likeness of a greedy, devouring wolf, strong and mighty, with eyes great and large, which in the night sparkled like fire, a mouth great and wide, with most sharp and cruel teeth, a huge body and mighty paws, end quote. That was very descriptive.
Yeah, for the 1500s.
Yeah, exactly. Among the most graphic crimes he confessed to was killing two pregnant women. Okay, this is super, super graphic. If you want to skip it, go ahead, like 10 seconds, okay? Okay. Each time ripping their fetus from their womb and eating its heart.
No.
Yeah.
No.
He would later describe... Exactly. He would later describe the organs as dainty morsels.
Ew. I'm done.
Ew.
I'm done. I wish exactly. I could have skipped that part.
I wanted to erase my eyes when I first seen this. I was like, yeah.
Like I'm covering my ears.
He also confessed to killing and eating 14 children, including his own son.
What?
Yeah. He was beheaded as a form of execution on October 31st, 1589. His head was then placed on a pole with a wolf figure beneath it as a warning to others. Yeah.
The 1500s of it all.
The 1500s of it all. Exactly.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if that wasn't disturbing enough... Yeah, there was that. If the first two didn't disturb you enough, there's that third one to add in there.
Alright, I'm gonna...
Okay, you're traumatized. We're gonna erase our brains.
Oh, yeah, we should have definitely did yours first.
Yeah, you should have. It's okay. You could play Minecraft.
Oh, I can't do that tonight. I have to get up early tomorrow.
Done.
Yeah.
Play something on your phone. Watch a cartoon or something while you go to bed.
Supernatural.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't even know how to end at that point.
Yeah.
I'm just going to jump right into it.
Yes.
If you would like to go to our social medias, please go to Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Dreadfully Twisted Podcast, right? Dreadfully Twisted Podcast. If you want to send us your stories, paranormal or true crime, you can email us at dreadfullytwistedpodcast@gmail.com, or you can go on our Facebook discussion group, which is Dreadfully Twisted Podcast Discussion Group, or you can go to our Reddit page, r/dreadfullytwistedpod. You can listen anywhere you listen to podcasts. Please like, subscribe, rate,
follow
like, all that stuff. Yes. On each episode,
and send to your friends, please.
Yeah,
and family.
And if you do rate us, please give us five stars. Don't rate us on this episode though. Rate us on how we are, not how these people are.
Exactly.
So
don't rate us on these terrible people we talk about. Rate us.
Yeah, rate how we tell the story, not on how they are. Because these guys get a zero out of a million, out of negatives, a million out of
negatives,
whatever. They get the lowest score they possibly can.
Exactly.
But yeah, and we will see you guys next week. And yeah, you know it's always going to be dark here.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see you guys next week. We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye. You're going old because mine are old too.
So oh, yeah.
Old timey. Old timey.
Old timey. Old timey. Old timey cases.